Second time we had a hockey guest on today, and we had the Canucks promo running. That is just perfect, perfect placement for, I don't know if Dave Pagnotta from the fourth period saw that on Twitter, but that was an actual news report out of Washington, D.C. after Vancouver fired Bruce Boudreau. Dave, and then said that the Canucks had some issues. That would probably not have gone over well in Toronto.
No, probably not. I did see it. This one to me is very similar to during LA's Cup run. One of the local channels just butchered everybody's name. Drew Doughty was Doughty. Brad Doughty.
Ooh.
Not even Drew. Brad Doughty.
Brad. Okay.
And then I think they mixed up Brad Richardson. Anyway, yeah, so this is, for me, this is, it's right up there. The Doughty and Canucks.
Canucks is just twice. We had that twice in the same report. All right, for people who don't know, and I think most people who are hockey fans do know, the fourth period is a great source for trade deadline stuff, personnel matters, who's looking for contracts with who, comprehensive site, all good stuff. And you've had your top 30 trade watch list up there for a while. The number one spot was, I guess, Bo Horvat. He is now off that list. Were you surprised, before I get to the Hurricanes, were you surprised the Islanders went in? I half expected them to go the other way.
Yeah, we knew that they were in on Horvat, and they were circling around different teams to see what some of the options were. Friday night, I was told after the Canucks game, in which Horvat had four assists, I got a call late at night after that game and was told, hey, heads up, something's going to happen sooner rather than later. I didn't expect that to mean Monday. And then on Monday during the day, I had heard the Islanders were working on something that is probably going to happen later in the week. So I never connected the two because I didn't anticipate the Islanders paying up to get a guy like Bo Horvat. They obviously did. It wasn't a grand slam type of package going back to Vancouver, probably like a line drive over the wall kind of thing. But they get a really good prospect in Atu Ratu that they are very fond of. He was the top prospect in the Islanders system, not a deep system, but nevertheless. Plus, they get a first-round pick, and they get a kid in Anthony Beauvillier that they feel a change of scenery would do him justice and a bit of a reclamation project to get him going again with 1 year left on his contract after this year. So I think it was a decent return for Vancouver. I think from the Islanders' perspective, knowing Lou Lamoriello and the way he operates, I'm pretty sure he's got a good indication as to what the range is to get Horvat locked into an extension and working on that now.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, by the way, I think the Islanders also added Kyle Palmiero, Palmieri, even though I can't believe I just did it. I should go do news in Washington. So they added Palmieri in a time where I don't believe they were headed toward the playoffs. And basically, it was a move made for the future. It was a hockey move. And I think that's what Lou Lamoriello is looking at here. And I think that's what the Hurricanes, for the most part, their history tells us that they are looking at. And I was looking at the prospect for who you guys say are, you know, Carolina is in on, Jonathan Toews, center for Chicago, you know, maybe headed for the Hall of Fame one day. But that would be a rental. Ryan O'Reilly, that would be a rental. Vladimir Tarasenko, that would be a rental. It's not necessarily in their history, but they also might be the best moves for them. How do you see what Carolina is in on and what they might be willing to give up?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. This is not historically the type of direction from a premier rental market direction that they normally go in. But given the window that they have and that they view within that organization, the window is open now. Like, this is an opportunity to pounce to help solidify your chances and stabilize your chances at competing for a Stanley Cup and getting another one of those amazing banners into the ring. So I think it shifts a little bit in terms of the direction that they're going. Yeah, they had interest in Bo Horvat as well, but weren't willing to pay a premium. I still suspect that they're not willing to pay a premium for a rental type player. Excuse me, whether it's O'Reilly or Taves, who if he has to decide if he's willing to go anywhere. That decision is probably going to happen in the next few weeks as they start their conversations with management in Chicago to see where he and Patrick Kane would be willing to go to. So I think there's an appetite to give up, a solid type package, but I don't see them being in a position to give out some of their top tier young players, especially at the NHL level. Like the Seth Jarvises and the Martin Nekas, like they're sticking around.
Yeah.
The only way those guys are moving is if you're bringing in a guy that is controllable with term, signed well beyond this season. Maybe the premier guy that fits now, who took over our number one slot over Horvat on the trade watch list, is Timo Meier. And San Jose is actively looking to trade him. If they get a package they feel is acceptable, they will give that team permission to speak to his agent, Claude Lemieux, to see if they can lock in on an extension. So maybe that's something that Carolina would explore, and that might change the dynamic in what they're willing to do. But from a pure rental perspective, they're going to be in. They're going to see if the prices drop over the next 4 weeks and see if there's an opportunity for them to take advantage of that.
Yeah. My understanding, and I'll say this knowing that nobody has to be truthful with me, and based on the return, things can change, that I will be really surprised if a deal involves Natchez or Jarvis or Kochetkov, because no matter what you look at with Pyotr Kochetkov, is he a number one goaltender? The opinions of him are varied, from he's a tandem goalie to he's okay to he's really good. I don't know. I don't know what he is. We have seen all of it so far from him. But the fact that he is signed for 4 years at $2 million per says to me that he's not going anywhere. And even Jalen Chatfield, who has had a remarkable season at less than $1 million already for next year, I don't see him going anywhere because of the value that he has as insurance. He's playing in place of Jacob Slavin right now, and he is playing very well. What's the health like on Ryan O'Reilly and Vladimir Tarasenko? Because if they're not, I don't know that they're both back in the lineup yet. And if they're not, it makes it harder to evaluate that.
Yeah, certainly. Without question, I believe Tarasenko's back. I think he came back either this week or at the end of last week. So he has been back in action and has been playing. Ryan O'Reilly, you're looking at sometime after the All-Star break by the looks of things in terms of, him coming back. And certainly, without question, teams want to see how he performs and responds from an injury side of things. So does he get back? Like Tarasenko, I'm just checking now, he's played the last four games for St. Louis. So he's back. He's getting his legs back under him. And I'm sure there's going to be some visibility from some teams that have interest in him. Now, he has a no-trade clause, a full no-trade.
Right.
So he's going to have full say on where he ends up, wherever that may be. He's got to sign off on it. O'Reilly does not. So it gives Doug Armstrong, the GM of the St. Louis Blues, more flexibility. And echoing what you said just a few minutes ago, yes, these guys are not going to cost. Those teams would say yes if Waddell wants to give up one of the young kids, but
right,
that's not going to happen. So, that's just not going to happen. So not especially in the rental market. So you have to try to see and get a little bit creative. I think, as I said, the Bo Horvat acquisition cost was not a grand slam. And depending on who you talk to, you could say, was it a solo shot? Maybe a two-run shot? So that kind of sets the market price a little bit with respect to some of the other key pending UFAs and quote-unquote rental players that are out there. It's going to be really interesting to see how that adjusts, if it does, one way or another, over these next 4 weeks going up to the deadline.
We're talking with Dave Pagnotta of the Fourth Period. In your opinion, dealing and following what the Hurricanes front office does, they had Joel Edmondson here, and they felt like he was not either good enough for what they valued. So they traded his rights to Montreal, and he ended up signing a long term deal. Personally, I would love if Joel Edmondson would come back. You think this front office would revisit that?
I think so. I think, you know, with a team that's in contender status, Stanley Cup contender status, like the Hurricanes are right now, if you have an opportunity to shore up your blue line, you do it.
Yep.
If there is a deal that's there, whether it's Carolina or Boston, we know that Tampa Bay Lightning are kind of fishing around. Now, some of these teams are looking for third pair slash number seven defenseman, and other teams, you know, are out there looking to see how they can bring in somebody that can hold the fort down as a second pair guy, maybe a third, depending on how deep your blue line is. And there are teams that are looking for that. We know Edmonton, without question, is looking to shore up their blue line. We know that LA is looking to stabilize the left side of their decor. So there are teams out there that are looking to, and playoff-bound teams that are looking to do that. With Joel Edmondson, like, the price still revolves around a first-round pick plus. That's the asking price. He's got one more year left on his contract. Mm-hmm. Based on some of the moves made in the last few years, it aligns with the price. I just don't know if there's a team, and I don't know if Carolina has that appetite right now to give away a first-round pick for this type of a player. But, I mean, so far it hasn't happened. So we're going to see, and this is where prices may drop over these next 4 weeks to see. But that caliber player, I think, on this team would definitely be beneficial, no question.
Oh, given health, if Joel Edmondson slotted in as the third pair left defenseman, I don't know that you find a... I mean, Colorado's blue line is next level for me. But in the Eastern Conference, I don't know that there's a better blue line, especially based on the way we have seen Jalen Chatfield play over the first 50 games of this season. All right, final thing for Dave Pagnotta, then we'll let you. I know you have to head to the All-Star game in Florida, which is, we're going to see Andrei Svechnikov there. If you had to, guess or pick something that Carolina can do relatively based on the way they like it, what would it be?
I could see middle six. I know we were just talking about defense, and maybe again, if something kind of falls into their lap, maybe that's, you know, something that they take advantage of closer to the deadline when some prices kind of drop. But I could see a middle six scenario, as good as they've been and as deep as this roster is. It also kind of potentially pushes guys a little bit down to give you more depth, overall. Is it the center position? I still believe they'd like to shore up that 2C spot.
Yeah.
And I think in a perfect world, if it aligns with what they're willing to give up, I think that's the number one area they'd like to address, which is why they were in on Horvat and why you hear whispers of them being at least knocking on the door with respect to Taves and O'Reilly and so on. I think that's number one on the wish list. Whether they pull it off, different story. But I think if they can get somebody in that 2C, I think that's what they'd love to be able to pull off. And if they can't, then maybe they kind of bring in somebody to kind of just deepen the roster, maybe mid six or bottom six, just to give them a little bit more depth and get somebody with playoff pedigree. Like both of those guys at the center, O'Reilly and Taves, obviously. They come with that. They've won Stanley Cups. So I think that's the ideal in a perfect world scenario for that staff.
All right. I lied. 30 seconds on this. Are there more teams? Because so many teams are salary cap strapped and the Hurricanes do have room. Is it going to be a buyer's or seller's market?
Ooh, yeah. It sounds right now, it sounds like it's leaning towards buyers.
Yeah.
Again, that Horvat deal, like I said, it wasn't a grand slam. It was a little lackluster across the league in terms of what they thought Vancouver would be able to get, even though the Canucks in their eyes like it. So right now it's kind of looking like that. I think in the next week or two, when we really get a clear indication of the market of who's selling definitively, that may change. It may sway in one direction. But right now I think it's more beneficial to the buyers at the moment. Going into things. So we'll see kind of how that kind of unfolds. Like with Ryan O'Reilly, for example, in St. Louis, they'd like to sign him, but would he be willing to take a 2-3 year extension? I'm not sure if that's the case just yet. And that may ultimately dictate what they do with that particular player instead of trading him for you know, a non-Grand Slam type of package, it may be more beneficial to keep him, but we'll see. There will be some big names that are going to move between now and the deadline, that's for sure. Everybody's now just trying to play the game and negotiate the prices.
Have fun in South Florida. Dave Pagnotta, the fourth period on Twitter. It's not only thefourthperiod.com, it's also the fourth period on Twitter. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. Thank you.
You got it. Dave Pagnotta here on the Adam Gold Show. I take Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah.
I'll put a healthy Ryan O'Reilly right behind Sebastian Aho as the number two center.
All day.
Think Ryan O'Reilly would make Martin Natchez and Andrei Svechnikov better? Yeah. He would. In fact, you could even flip Aho and O'Reilly. I'm not talking about 1 and 2C. And put Aho with Natchez and Svechnikov and O'Reilly with Teravainen and Natchez. And both of those lines would have physical elements as well because O'Reilly can play a little bit of a physical game. That would be fun to do.